Do you think it's acceptable to use torture to obtain information in times of war or in crisis? Now, some of you listening right now actually do. In fact, a survey released by the Red Cross has found that 1 in 5 Australians think it's okay to use torture to obtain military information during war. To explore this issue further, we're joined by Paris Aristotle, Chief Executive Officer of the Victorian Foundation for Survivors of Torture. Paris, thank you for your time.
Hi, Patricia.
What did you make of these survey results that 1 in 5 Australians think that torture is acceptable when there is a war?
Well, in some ways, I'm not surprised at all because we actually see thousands of people every year who were tortured in conflict situations. So it's obviously happening every single day and on a very substantial and, in my view, utterly unacceptable scale. I think the use of torture is unacceptable in any circumstances, regardless. I think the anxieties people feel this day and age with terrorism and attacks in major cities and so forth feeds that anxiety and fear. And I noticed in that study there's been about an 18% increase in the number of people who believed it was acceptable since the last time the survey was done in 1999. So it is very troubling that people are feeling so insecure that they believe that. I also think once you get into a detailed conversation about the possible consequences on the community and whether or not it can be controlled properly and all of those sorts of things, then I suspect some people start to adapt the way they think about it and develop a different view.
The survey also found that internationally there's also been an increase in support for torture. So it's not just an Australian issue. This is an international finding as well. Do you see it as the same kind of reasons that leads to a sort of global increase in support?
Well, I think I do. I think when people all over the world begin to feel more insecure about their safety, then there's a tendency to want to reach for things that they believe will help keep them safe. But the problem with the use of torture is that once you accept the premise that you can use it in certain situations, then it becomes impossible to contain it or place limits on it, which is what we see in our clients all of the time. So, for example, you've got someone and they won't give you information or they're claiming they don't have the information. If you've accepted the premise that it's okay if it's going to prevent a larger scale disaster, then does that mean it's then okay to be even more extreme in the torture you apply? Or if they still won't give you the information or they don't have it, is it okay to bring members of their family in to torture in front of them in order to make them tell you? Because once you've accepted that in this situation the greater good argument is the most critical one, then it really becomes impossible to place proper limits on it.
Research suggests that torture is not a reliable way to extract information. You can't rely on the information, some of this research is saying. If it's that straightforward, though, in some instances, people would give up important information, wouldn't they?
I'm sure in circumstances people do. I'm sure in many, many circumstances, people have been detained and tortured and they're not the right people and they don't actually have the information. And I'm also sure that there will be circumstances where people will say anything they think they need to say in order to make it stop. So the reliability is absolutely not guaranteed across different situations. But one of the things that happens as a consequence of that is that regimes such as ISIS, who seek to use things like this as propaganda, are provided with the tools and the material that they need to justify generating more support for their causes as well. And so being able to determine whether the use of torture gives you, in all of the situations that you would want it to, the sort of information you need to prevent a disaster is is a pretty big call, and I think is simply unrealistic. But the other consequences about it being used randomly to persecute entire populations and societies, and the fact that it generates hatred for many, many years across generations and so forth, makes it very unwise to believe that we can use it as such a fine tool in limited circumstances.
Paris, thank you so much for your time.
Thanks, Patricia.
That's Paris Aristotle, the Chief Executive Officer of the Victorian Foundation for Survivors of Torture. After 7 on RN Drive, stick with us because we're going to talk about President-elect Donald Trump's vow to deport 2 to 3 million immigrants who are in the United States. A number of cities across the country are preparing to resist this on a large scale. We're going to find out how they're going to do this and whether they'll be successful. That's coming up after 7 on RN Drive.
From the founder of Apple to comedian Andy Samberg, from the head of Netflix to the man who built the World Wide Web, from the creators of the record-breaking podcast Serial to startups that are breaking ground right here in Australia, if you want to hear from the movers and the shakers, media, technology and culture around Australia and the globe, there is literally one show. It also happens to be the most literally named show. Download this show with me, Mark Fennell, media, technology, culture. Find it on the RN website now or on the ABC Radio app.